तो मोदी शाह बीजेपी लाइक्स टू गिव सरप्राइजेस टू एवरीबडी पर्टिकुलरली टू पॉलिटिकल पंडित सो मोर ऑफन देन नॉट दे डू एग्जैक्टली द ऑपोजिट ऑफ वॉट पीपल माइट बी एक्सपेक्टिंग और माइट बी स्पेकुलेटिंग ऑन बट इवन बाई देयर स्टैंडर्ड्स द सरप्राइज दैट कम्स टूडे इन महाराष्ट्र इज in a different category because we know that nobody knew that Yogi Adityanath was going to be chief minister. Some people might have sensed that Sushma Swaraj was not going to be sworn in the 2019 cabinet, but not all. But this surprise, pulling down of Maharashtra government was not a surprise because that was an ongoing operation and that's natural. That's part of day-to-day politics. But now to hand over chief ministership to the Shiv Sena rebel is a very big surprise. And on top of that, getting Devendra Fadnavis, who's been sworn in twice earlier, to then concede the chief ministership to somebody else and to agree to become deputy chief minister under him. Now, these are a set of big surprises. They upset my script completely for this evening. Because I had done a fair bit of work today talking about this Dawat-e-Islami and the organization, which apparently it seems is behind or from where these two boys in Udaipur, the killers in Udaipur, drew inspiration from. And I thought I'll be talking about that because Udaipur is still an ongoing story, tragic story, but an ongoing story. But right now, politics takes precedence over that. So my script has been rewritten. So thank you very much, BJP, for doing that. You always like to give us surprises, even if that makes us work harder at the end of the day. But you know what? Politics is most important. That's why on our print mugs, you can see this is a mug from the print. The only one we have right now, it says, because politics matters, right? Politics matters because politics runs everything in our lives. Everything that comes up, particularly in a democracy, comes out of politics. It emanates from politics. Politics is very important. Never judge politics. Politics is not only very important, politics is also the most fun thing that we can watch. It's also the most fair. It's brutal, but it's fair. It's fun because you have this drama, it's unpredictable, you have its characters, but it's also fair because politics is also a game or a profession or a business, you can choose your description, where in this case, an auto rickshaw driver, a former auto rickshaw driver can become chief minister of the state. Remember, Uddhav Thackeray in his sort of farewell speech had said, we've raised an auto rickshaw driver to a minister, cabinet minister. Now he's chief minister, of course. Eknath Shinde was an auto rickshaw driver. From there, he joined the Sena. He was a worker. Then he became a corporator and he's risen up the ranks now to get here. So that is the beauty or that is the fun and that is the fairness of democratic politics. That's where a Chaiwala, Narendra Modi, can become Prime Minister of India. That's where a mere police constable, that was Bhairav Singh Shekhawat. There are many other examples. I'm just picking up one each. Bhairav Singh Shekhawat could become Chief Minister of an important state like Rajasthan. Also then Vice President of India and the third most powerful person in the BJP after Vajpayee and Advani for a long time. And that's where a boy peon, a Dalit boy who started his life as a boy peon. Now, boy peon is a description. Boy peon is somebody, is not even a peon, is somebody who does a little fetching and carrying, maybe for the peon in a tiny coat. A boy peon, a Dalit boy peon could rise to become Chief Minister of Maharashtra, that is Sushil Kumar Shinde, and also the Home Minister of India. So politics to that extent is fair as well, brutal but fair. Now Shinde has risen to be Chief Minister. And again, if this surprise was not enough, within an hour and a half of this, we got the second surprise that Devendra Fadnavis would be joining the cabinet as his deputy. Now, when the announcement was made that Shinde will be Chief Minister, at that announcement, Fadnavis is sitting with Shinde, but Fadnavis has said, I will not participate in the government. Now I know, you always smile. In fact, if you see all those pictures, the person who seems to be smiling all the time is Devendra Fadnavis. In fact, there are some pictures where the rest of them, including Shinde, look very grim. They look like ashes. But Fadnavis is smiling, maybe because he figured that he had to smile. That was part of his script. Doesn't matter how you are feeling. Your audience should see you smiling. So he's forcing himself to smile. And you can see that he's not happy about this. And those smiles tell you a story. And he also announces there that he's not going to join the government. Within an hour or so, the party president, JP Nadda, tweets. And then he also makes a statement. This is an act of large-heartedness on part of Devendra Fadnavis to join the cabinet as deputy chief minister. Unhone bada dil dikhaya hai. So I would have thought that conventionally, large-heartedness would have been sufficient large-heartedness if you said, I will not be chief minister, I'm conceding chief ministership to somebody from another party in the larger interests of my own party. And I will explain to you how those things work. But it requires something extra special then to agree to function under that person as their deputy. So that means the BJP has played a very complex and very interesting game. Now, what exactly does the BJP want? Where is it coming from? Where is it headed? So right now, these are very early moments. We have the information that all of you have, say around 7 o'clock, 7:30 on Thursday evening, and more will come up. But based on this, we can pick up 4 or 5 pointers. Essentially, I would say 3 pointers. So first of all, how do we describe this? So if you want me to describe this, you want a headline for this, I would say this is the BJP strategy or tactics or strategy plus tactics of Kahin Pe Nigahein, Kahin Pe Nishana. Remember that song that Wahida Rehman sang in the voice of Shamshad Begum in CID Devanand's mid-50s hit, Kahin Pe Nigahein, Kahin Pe Nishana. So this is Kahin Pe Nigahein, Kahin Pe Nishana. So it looks like BJP's eyes were on bringing down the MVA government headed by Uddhav Thackeray and installing a government of their own, even if it defectors from the Shiv Sena. But that's only a part of the story. That is the Kahin Pe Nigahein part of the story, Kahin Pe Nishana. Now, it looks like they are doing only this, but their real target, Nishana, is actually to finish the Shiv Sena. And why is it such an imperative for the BJP to finish the Shiv Sena? It's very simple. Shiv Sena is a party in the same Hindutva territory as the BJP is. If anything, Shiv Sena was much more of a self-avowed, openly Hindu, anti-Muslim party for much longer than BJP was. For example, when Babri Masjid was brought down, all the BJP leaders said they were embarrassed that this happened, this should never have happened. But Balasaheb Thackeray and the Shiv Sena said, wonderful idea, this happened, why should we be apologetic about it? So Shiv Sena was playing on the same side of the court as the BJP, the Hindutva side of the court, not the secular side of the court. But then the BJP also figured that nationally, if they had the Hindutva position and Shiv Sena did not threaten them, then in Maharashtra, instead of waiting to build their own footprint and fighting another Hindutva party, why not align with that Hindutva party? And that's how the two parties aligned. And I always used to say that BJP has two natural allies who cannot go anywhere. One is the Akali Dal and one is Shiv Sena. Why? Because those two are other parties, non-Muslim, non-Christian. One, a Hindutva or Hindu party, that is Shiv Sena. And Akali Dal is Sikh party. So those two parties, because their politics is so religious, they can only go with the BJP. They cannot go with any other party. And because they are religious parties and both these religions BJP has no argument with, BJP will also find it easier to go with these parties. Now, if you just look at what I've been saying, I've been proven wrong twice already. In the sense that Akali Dal has gone away from the BJP. They haven't gone to BJP's rivals, BJP's secular rivals, so to say. But they've gone away and that looks like quite a final break, at least for now. And Shiv Sena also went away in Maharashtra 2.5 years ago. Now, once that happened, where was the BJP coming from? BJP's concern was that, look, they've now gone away. They've gone away and as they get re-established as the preeminent Hindutva party in Maharashtra with state power with them now, then it becomes that much tougher for the BJP. If you saw the last India Today Mood of the Nation poll, we had a whole episode of Karta Clutter on that. I will share a link with you. You can watch it again. There, that survey had shown that BJP will suffer quite a big loss of seats in Maharashtra. And that would happen mainly because MVA will contest as one, BJP will be left alone. So BJP, which had nearly swept the state along with Shiv Sena the last time, this time might suffer a loss of almost 20 seats. It's a lot of seats to lose. So for the BJP, it was important either to bring the Shiv Sena back in its fold or to finish the Shiv Sena, and move into its space. How it works for Shiv Sena was the flip side of the same coin. The Shiv Sena has been feeling for quite some time that the BJP was growing into in the state into Shiv Sena's ideological space, that is Shiv Sena's Hindutva space. In fact, initially BJP came in as a very junior partner to Shiv Sena, but as time passed, BJP's footprint began getting larger and larger and larger, and the Shiv Sena's footprint started to shrink. If you look at the last election, for example, last assembly election, Shiv Sena got 55 seats, BJP got almost twice as many at 106, and that was showing in vote shares also. So for Shiv Sena as well as the BJP, what was a partnership, a close partnership, a symbiotic partnership so far, was now becoming a question of conflicting existential interests. So these became rivals. So it was important for BJP, particularly now that the Shiv Sena had gone away, not just to take power away from them, but also to destroy the phenomenon of the Shiv Sena, so the BJP could then seamlessly move into it. For that, the important thing was, one, to take away the power now from Uddhav Thackeray and the conventional Shiv Sena or the original Shiv Sena. And second was also to deny them victory in the forthcoming elections in the municipal corporations in the state. Because whoever rules the corporations in Maharashtra effectively controls the state's politics, particularly BMC, Brihan Mumbai Municipal Corporation, the Greater Mumbai Municipal Corporation. Because the budget of that corporation is larger than that of a large number of states in India. So those elections are also coming up. BJP had to deny the Shiv Sena and all this. That's why they've played this very clever and very devious and a very successful game as yet. Successful as yet. Because the first objective is to finish Thackeray. So what happens? Now that Shinde has a majority of Shiv Sena MLAs, right? He can now claim that I am the Shiv Sena. What is Thackeray? Thackeray is just a family, right? Thackeray is just a family, but I am the Shiv Sena. I have a large number of MLAs, etc., etc. And he can now go out to look for winning over the MPs. Now, Shiv Sena has a large number of MPs. It has 19 MPs. It has corporators. It has other MLAs. It has office bearers. All those are important people. So as if he was just made deputy chief minister, he would not have had the bargaining power to get these people over, or the persuasive power, if I may use a euphemism. But now that he is chief minister, BJP's expectation is he'll be able to do better, and that will damage the original Shiv Sena more and weaken the Thackeray's more. So that is the first objective. So Shiv Sena in the two houses of parliament has 19 MPs, of which only two currently are with Shinde. These are Shrikant Shinde, his son, right? At least in this case, also father and son are together as they are with the Thackeray's. Also Bhavna Gawali. So those two out of the 19 are with Shinde. 17 are still with the Thackeray's. Now, if Shinde has to go to election commission and say, mine is the real party, mine is the real Shiv Sena, I want the symbol, parties, funds and everything. That will be the next battle now. The next battle will be, who's the real Shiv Sena? Because as this might play out, I can only guess, it will probably be that now this both Shiv Senas or both factions will issue whips to everybody saying, I am the real Shiv Sena. Shinde's people will say, Shinde's party will say, vote for Shinde as the chief minister, vote in support of the government. Whereas Thackeray Shiv Sena will issue a whip saying every Shiv Sena MLA should vote against the new government. And then either side, because one of the sides will be the loser, that side can then move against MLAs of the other side saying that they are defectors. That will go to the Speaker of the House. So we know that the Speaker of the House will now be re-elected, will be from the BJP or the new Shiv Sena, whatever, most likely the BJP. And the Speaker will not declare any of Shinde's people defectors, in which case Thackeray's can then go to court, election commission, etc., etc. And then the big battle will come. The big battle will be who gets the party symbol funds, who inherits the real party. And that is why chief ministership, that's why it's important for BJP to give chief ministership to. Because BJP thinks that, look, once the Thackeray's are out, Sena will weaken anyway. Sena is weakened already. They got half their numbers in last assembly election. They will weaken further. In any case, even if Shinde wins control of the Sena, Sena will not be the same under him because he doesn't have any of the charisma, etc., etc. And a rival Sena will always exist. Now that entire Sena phenomenon, 56 years after it started, it started in 1966, that will now end, and BJP will then have Maharashtra entirely for itself. So that is the larger game. And that's why I said, kahin pe nigahein, kahin pe nishana. Because nigahein, the eyes may be on installing this government. The nishana, the ultimate objective, is to finish the Thackeray's and ultimately the Shiv Sena. Number two is the worry about defections. Now, 39 MLAs have come with Shinde. Only about a dozen will become ministers. What will happen to the rest? The rest will then be free agents because they will say, look, I'm not even a mercenary. What have I got for coming here? And the fact is that the independents and the small party walas, which is about 22 others who support the BJP is counting on, they in fact will all get something. They will be the real mercenaries. So they will get their trading done. Whereas these fellows will think they are being taken for granted. But once their boss is the chief minister, who can do a lot for you? So this is also to help Shinde's Shiv Sena to be able to maintain its cohesion, although it's not going to be easy, but that is one of the objectives here. Number three, BJP understands that this can be an unstable government. Because what are the numbers in the state assembly? BJP has 106, Shinde has 39. We are presuming that all 39 will stay on. So 106 plus 39 is 145. The current strength of the house is 287. It's 288, but one Shiv Sena MLA had died, so there is one vacancy. So 287, 144 is the halfway mark. BJP and Sena together have 145. It's razor thin. It's as thin can be. It's also a very finely sharpened razor. So just margin of one. That's why they need the support of those 22 independents and small parties. Now, those are going to be very mercurial and very mobile. They will always be willing, because these are situations in which independence, to be an independent, becomes a very lucrative thing in the Indian political system. So those fellows will play their games. BJP is hoping that this will remain stable at least for as long as the corporation elections take place in Maharashtra. Because once they've got those, and then the government is unstable and some independents pull it out or some tamasha happens, then they can actually let the government fall, dissolve the assembly and hold a fresh election. Because once they have the corporations in their pocket, particularly BMC in their pocket, it will be nearly impossible for Shiv Sena then to mount a credible challenge to their might, to the BJP's might. So that is the long-term picture. Now, have we seen these things before? This tail wagging the dog situation, where party with the larger number stays outside or comes in but does not get the main position. Somebody else becomes the prime minister or the chief minister. Now, we have seen this happen many times. And my friend and colleague, D.K. Singh, our political editor, he gives me some instances. I'm not saying these are by any means exhaustive or full. I'm sure you will find more examples, but I'm just listing. He's listed for me the ones that we remember quite well because they are fairly recent. In 2004, in Karnataka elections, JDS, that is the Gowda Kumaraswamy party, father and son party, they got 58 seats. BJP got 79. Congress got 65 in a house of 224. So BJP was number one, Congress was number two, JDS was number three. But who became chief minister? It was Kumaraswamy from JDS who became chief minister. That's what I call kind of a leveraged buyout situation. So he said that, look, without me, nobody can form a government. right? And I will only come with somebody to form a government if you let me become chief minister. So initially, both the BJP and the Congress said, why should we let you become chief minister? You are smaller than us. Each one of us is bigger than you. So they denied it to him. So JDS then joined hands with the Congress party and accepted a Congress party chief minister, Mr. Dharam Singh. JDS was smaller than the Congress. So this is not the main story. The story turns later as the BJP now, again desperate to bring down that government, BJP says to JDS that, listen, you wanted chief ministership, na? Congress hasn't given it to you. Why didn't you join us? Leave the Congress. You join us. We'll make you chief minister. So JDS, that is Kumaraswamy and Gowda, then moved over to the BJP in the same assembly. It was a very similar move to what Uddhav Thackeray earlier made in 2019, when he was elected in partnership with the BJP, and after getting elected, he moved over to the other side. In this case, JDS moved over to the BJP and Kumaraswamy became chief minister. Once again, Kumaraswamy's party had 58, BJP had 79. So the party with fewer MLAs had the chief ministership. In Uttar Pradesh, it's happened more than once. In 1995, Mayawati, with just 67 MLAs in a house of 402, she became chief minister with the support of BJP from outside. How many did the BJP have? 177. That's close to a majority. BJP could have even tried breaking some other party and getting defectors. But BJP at that time was not so powerful in Delhi. It did not have the agencies. It did not have the kind of money it has now. So it decided to keep Samajwadi Party and the others out, or keep the sort of so-called secular parties out. This told Mayawati, you be the chief minister. So Mayawati, chief minister with 67 MLAs, supported by BJP outside with 177 MLAs. So once again, tail wagging the dog. This lasted, however, only for 4 months. Again in 1997, after elections, BSP got 67 seats only. BJP got 174. So BJP is still tantalizing close to a majority, but falling a little bit short. Right? So because BJP has fallen a little bit short again, it had 177 the last time, 174 this time. They again tell Mayawati, be the chief minister. Where is the problem? We'll give the chief ministership to you. So she becomes chief minister. But this time, BJP joins the state government. The previous time, BJP had not joined the state government. And because the BJP joins the state government, it does a little bit better. It lasts for longer. In 2002, BSP and BJP fight together in a coalition. And they win a majority together. And Mayawati again becomes chief minister. But that is not tail wagging the dog. Because by this time, Mayawati gets 98 seats. BJP gets 88 seats. Now, BJP wants in Maharashtra the opposite of that to happen. In Uttar Pradesh, while they gave away power to Mayawati, Mayawati's numbers kept on going up. BJP's numbers eventually fell. In Maharashtra, they want the opposite to happen, although the tactics used is the same. The larger party has handed over power to the smaller party. Again in Bihar, Nitish Kumar's example is also very fresh before us. 2015, he and RJD were together. RJD got 80 seats. Nitish got 71 seats, but he became the chief minister, though he had fewer seats. 2020, BJP got 74 seats, JDU got just 43 seats. And yet, Nitish Kumar became the chief minister, tail wagging the dog. But in this case, it was a sizable dog, in the sense that the vote was primarily as chief minister for Nitish Kumar, even though he was from a party which won fewer seats. And if I can take you back to Karnataka once again, because now we are leapfrogging over time, in 2018, again Karnataka elections, Congress got 78 seats, JDS got 37 seats, BJP got even more than Congress, but JDS joined hands with the Congress party and the Congress party handed over chief ministership to JDS, although they had 78, JDS 37, so JDS had less than half the MLAs that the Congress said. Why was the Congress doing that? They were doing that to keep the BJP out at that point, out of power in Karnataka. So these are tactical and strategic games that bigger parties play. In this case, the BJP has played a game which is tactical and strategic, but also strategic politically in the long term. So tactical right now is to bring down the Thackeray government to deny Thackeray's the power of the state. Strategic right now to keep Shinde as a chief minister so that this government stays a bit more stable. And the long-term strategy, the long-term political strategy, which is the big cotillion strategy, that is to weaken the Sena and destroy the Sena and definitely destroy the mystique of the Thackerays. Because that is where the BJP now thinks that the break between them and the Thackerays is now final and total. So, you know, what does it remind you of? It reminds you of the same old story that we've all heard from our parents and grandparents about Kautilya. You know how Chandragupta found Kautilya. He found him, he found this old Brahmin with a torn dhoti pouring what looked like milk in the roots of a cactus. Now, to shorten the story, it wasn't milk, it was sweetened buttermilk. And why was he doing it? Because he told this young man who asked him, how come you're feeding milk to this thorny bush? And he said, that's because I was going past it. I'm a poor man. My dhoti got stuck in it and my dhoti got torn. So he said, but if your dhoti got torn, why are you feeding milk to the bush? Or why don't you just pick up a sword and cut the bush? He said, no, it's a cactus. Even if I cut it, it will grow. And I'm not giving it milk. I'm giving it sweetened buttermilk. It has sugar in it. So what happens? Once it goes into its roots, it will attract ants and termites who will then come and eat up the roots of this plant, and this plant will be finished forever. If I just cut it from the top, it will grow back again. That is the kind of thing that BJP is now doing with the Shiv Sena and the Thackerays in Maharashtra.